All right. Welcome to the very first podcast of what are we going to call this thing? I hadn't thought about this. This is what we're going to do on this podcast. Maybe it's like naming a bong. You know what I'm saying? You can't buy the bong and then just name it. You know, some people name their cars too. That shit, where I came from, that was a little, I mean, people did it, but like, you know, you name the bong. You name your pets and you name your bong. And you go about it two completely different ways. If you got a pet, you know, you named him something cute or whatever, something that you could get past the folks. You know, we named our dog Cinnamon. We named our dog Coco. Oh shit, I think I just realized we like named our dogs like weird flavors. But yeah, when you name a bong, you name it accordingly, fellow. You can't just come fresh out the glass shop talking about this one's name is Big Bernie Ernie. You gotta live life. That bong creates a mythos and creates a lore. And around that lore, it then gets dubbed. You know what I'm saying? Like, it gets on its knees and you just come out with a sword on its shoulders and you name that bong. So, yeah, who knows what the name of this podcast is. I'll tell you what, though, on this podcast, it's going to be pretty exciting stuff. We're going to interview all types of folks. The whole idea behind this podcast is that we're going to take some interesting people, you know, and I don't want to commit to like, yeah, I'm only going to talk to folks that like to juggle, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to talk to folks that don't like to juggle. You know, I don't want to put myself into a box. So what we're going to do is we're going to just interview some very interesting people and, you know, that's it. So, my name is Tony Ocintron. I guess you want to know a little bit about me, but I ain't going to tell you. It's one of those, like, you either know me or you don't. This isn't like, I want to keep it like a little mysterious. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be out here. This podcast isn't about me. I'm not an interesting people. I'm just a people that talks to the interesting people. So, you know, I'm keeping it real mysterious. Like, I like to, you know, I like to interview in the shadows. You want to know more about me? You gotta go into those shadows, old boy. I'm gonna be in there with a trench coat and just selling watches. Talking to interesting people. You can talk to those other people. You can talk to those interesting folks. But for me, it's just like, you know, I'm gonna hang out in the shadows. So, what else? Yeah, okay. So this week, what we got? We got a nice young man who works at the local zoo. This man is just like one of you and me, but when he puts his pantaloons on in the morning, he goes and talks to all types of monkeys and fucking what else? What do they got down there? They got some Arabian jaguars. My man just kicks back with some kumquats and a nice grizzly bear, and he knows how to talk to him. He's, you know, some people are born with the ability to, like, you know, just run real fast because that's where, like, they grew up or whatever. But this man, he'd be out here whispering to animals. So while you're, you know, wearing your, while you're wearing a suit, toting your 9-to-5 out there in the traffic, talking about some, I can't wait for the potluck on Wednesday, you know, that's what you're up to. This guy's out here fucking whispering to monkeys and fucking, you know, petting some tigres. So he's going to be on the show. He's going to tell us a little bit about what it's like to be a gifted animal tamer, a domesticator of four-legged creatures. So that's real exciting. I've never really gotten into the whole, I mean, the deepest I went into that scene was like when I was like maybe like 9 or something. My friend was trying to get rid of these pet rats, right? So, you know what? And honestly, I don't even know if he was trying to get rid of them, but his mom was real eager for me to take those rats. And I didn't even think twice about it. I was like, man, these rats. And I ain't never had a pet before that was mine, right? Like, yeah, we had a family dog, but I was about these rats because they were real creepy. Or maybe, you know what? I'm be honest with you. I didn't think they were creepy. But maybe that's because I was kind of a little creepy, and I was too, cause I was into that Marilyn Manson and all that kind of stuff. But you know, as soon as I brought them rats home, I learned that they were creepy. My mom was all fucking, yeah, she didn't like that. So, you know, I kept them in a cage downstairs. But I live downstairs, so I don't want you to think that I just put them in the basement. I actually lived in the basement. And, you know, I got buddies that'll testify to it to this day. You know, I was a basement dweller. I liked living down there. It was all cold, and you know, you wake up, it's like the right kind of cold. And I was down there playing video games, and I had like my rats, and man, looking back, it's a little weird, isn't it? So I was just in the basement chilling with some rats, huh? Fuck. Man, that actually yeah, man, that actually explains a whole bunch. Fuck, man. I was like Casey Jones out there, you know what I'm saying? Like, right? Isn't that's the Ninja Turtle guy that had the rats? I don't know, dude. The Rat King, fucking. Listen, I was down there, I had my bat, and I would say it's weird too because I was almost exactly like Casey Jones, man. I used to wear a hockey mask. And I'd go save crime at night. Like, I would go out there with my rats. And it's weird, too, because people... I mean, obviously, I never gave out my identity or nothing like that, because that's just kind of... That's part of the thing, you know? You can't be going around telling people who you are. It's almost like this podcast. I told you my name or whatever, but I'm not going to talk a whole bunch about myself. I'm just going to be... So, anyway, yeah. So, I would be out there saving crime So these rats were real talented, man. Like, I could call upon them, you know what I'm saying? Like a henchman, I would just be like, hey, and give them one of the fucking, and then they knew, according to the whistle, they would do my bidding, you know? Like, if I was on the other side of a locked door and I wanted to get in because I needed to get in there to save crime or whatever, just give them one of those. Fucking run up the gutter, you know what I'm saying? he was real talented. I know it sounds like a joke, but these things were talented. They get on the other side of that fucking door, they be stacking up little books and boxes and little match books, and you know, like Feifel Goes West. These were charming. They were charming little buggers. And I'd be out there fighting crime or whatever. It's no big deal. But yeah, so that I mean, that's the biggest stint I've ever had in you know, in crime fighting, but also in just weird exotic animals. That's as crazy as it got for me. I never got into nothing crazy. We had a couple of dogs, and that was cool. But that's normal. That ain't nothing special. That's just some normal people shit. We had a cat once. My mom was real excited to bring the cat home. Super excited. I don't know what she spent on it. I mean, but it looked like one of them cats that were like kind of fancy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would see this thing on a... It was kind of like a Hollywood cat, you know? It had that face that it just knew what to do with itself, you know? It congratulated me when it came through the door. I remember it came through the door and it said, "Congratulations, I live here now." And I was beside myself. I had never heard an animal talk. I didn't even know that it knew that they knew English, but this, no accent or nothing. I mean, I don't know why I was expecting it to have some like rolling R or something, you know, but this thing was straight out of some sort of like elocution school. Like, this thing was, it's a talented cat. It could balance books on its head and shit. It congratulated me. It said, "Bitch, I'm home. Where's supper?" And, you know, my mom was real stoked because, you know, I don't know how much she spent on it, but Anyway, so that's the story about how we found out I was allergic to cats. Yeah, because I remember. You know what? To this day, okay, so yeah, she brought it home. And, you know, I started getting all itchy and like, you know, this and that. Like I started bubbling up. I'd get the hives, right? So my skin would be popping. It'd just bubble on up. And so I'm young. I don't know what the heck's going on. Do I tell my parents about this? What's going on? Do I got the HIV? You know, I'll be the first dude in the history of boners to get the HIV without even bonering up somebody else, you know, because I was like maybe 7 or something. So I didn't know if I accidentally got the HIV or something. Because when you're 7, you be putting your boners places. You just put it where it goes, you know, you get in where you fit in. You toss that thing in a couch cushion crack, you know, that's like when you're dry, when you got the orgasms that are dry, but, I don't know if ladies know what this is. For all I know, ladies go through this too. Hell. But sometimes when you're younger, you get them boners and you try to figure out what to do with them. You toss them in between a couch cushion or you rub them up against a cold tile. Dude, I'm telling you, you be coughing up dry orgasms. Talking about, damn, I don't know what that was, but it sure do feel like something special, you know? So anyway, what the hell was I talking about? Oh, yeah, so your boy was bubbling. I would get all bubbly-like. And so anyway, the cat would come through, you know, like the boss of the boss hog, and get me bubbling. And so I told my mom, hey, mom, you know, I think I'm bubbling. But she took it personal. Like, if you don't like the cat, then, you know, you don't got to come up with this bubbly-ass story, you know? I spent good hard-earned money on this cat. You're coming at me talking about some bubbles, you know? So we kept that little fucker for a while, man. And I was like, my skin was all weird. It was all scaly and shit. I think it was, I'm going to be honest with you guys, because we're here, we're talking, you know, we might as well. I think that the way the whole thing came to light was like, I was at a friend's house with my mom, you know. I actually think it was her friend. So I mean, I didn't have a whole bunch of friends. You know what I'm saying? I lived in a basement, so we had rats. We didn't make friends. But yeah, we were at her friend's house, and so she's, you know, her friend had a cat, you know, and I was about 5 minutes, or you know, whatever drive distance. Basically, what I'm telling you, I showed up to this house not bubbly. I showed up not bubbly. We were playing with the cat. The cat was around. You know, I'm hanging out with cats at this point in my life. It was a weird time, you know. This is before the rats, you know. And so anyway, I was playing with this cat. All of a sudden, guess what? My skin starts to bubble. Got that little bubble bobble, you know. A little crispy chicken skin was fucking popping. It was like, so, you know, my skin's doing what it does. It gets that little bubble bobble. And her friend, my mom's friend, comes up out. She creeps up out the other room, you know, where the moms hang out. She comes on over and she's like, what's going on here? It looks like you got the HIV. Where you been putting them boners, little boy? I'm just kidding. No, she didn't say it. But she said, you know, it looks like you got hives. And that was literally the first time I ever heard that word. I had never heard that word before. But instantly, right away, it made sense. You know how you hear something for the first time sometime, and then you're just like, oh, yeah, 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 of course that's called cottage cheese. Because it looks like the cheese has been cottaged. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe you've never heard of the thing before, but, like, you know as soon as you hear the word like that, those are called skis, you know? They look like some fucking skis. If they weren't skis, they'd be called fucking another word for skis, but like in another language or something like that. So she said hives, and I was like, yeah, dude, I get these hives all the time. What happens when, so what's going on? And, she was the one that had to break the news to my mom, you know? And that's when my mom, you know, finally believed me. I was the one running around the house looking like a goddamn leper, you know? I was living that leper life, guys. And I digress. That's about, that's my foray into owning wildlife. There was an exception there for a little while. I did get a little exotic. I had a hedgehog for a little while. Hedgehog was dope. I'll admit it. What I did learn, though, is that hedgehogs aren't super fast. And also, they're not blue. So I don't know if you guys knew that. They're not blue. They aren't particularly charming. I mean, I don't... On TV, they make friends with foxes. They do all types of stuff. They collect coins. Not this one. Or not hedgehogs in general. Honestly, I'm going to keep it real 100 with you. Hedgehogs don't do none of that. This hedgehog was just... it just liked to chill. It would chill out, but I can't talk shit. I mean, I like chilling, you know what I'm saying? So, like, if a little homie wants to chill with me, then we're going to get it done, you know? We can toss on some Netflix. I think at the time, was Netflix even a thing? I don't even know. This was like, this is like the early days before Netflix. This is when people got excited about, other shit. People would get excited about skating outside, and they would like go interact with each other, and people used to do this really weird shit. They'd like get together and they'd start like making weird sounds out of their mouth, they'd be talking to each other, dude. It was another time. People would get together, they just jab their jaws at one another. I guess they called it socializing. We don't know shit about that now. Now we're just literally in a room. I mean, I can't say that, it's tough to talk shit when the damn podcast is about interviewing interesting people. So anyway, I had this hedgehog, its name was Chupacabra. For all you folks out there in the sticks, Chupacabra is, it means to suck a cow. So, the cow sucker. Chupacabra was this mysterious mythological creature from I think it was actually, it might have been from Mars, honestly. It dropped out. It was like this weird alien creature. It had like this kind of like a glowy little finger. And it was pretty charming too. So, like, the original Chupacabra, they made a movie about it, and it starred Drew Barrymore. So, it was a real beautiful creature, very mythological and highly sought after, it was like the Bigfoot, it was like the Loch Ness, it was like both of those things put together as one, but like kind of looked a little bit like a nutsack with a glowy finger. So anyway, I named this hedgehog after that, and yeah, so this thing was cool. It was chill. You call it Chupa Chups for short. And Chups, you call it Chups. If you're just kicking back, if you're just sharing a beer, be like, what up, Chups? Chupa Chups, what's going on today? And it was just chilling. I never wanted to talk either. It was just like, fucking, you going to feed me, or you going to fucking pretend I know the English language like that damn cat? So, I kicked it back with a hedgehog a couple of times for a little while, and then I bought it a mansion. I bought it a little Chups manch, and I got that thing down proper. Like this little cage had like three levels, but it also had a pool. It had like this little chill area on the second floor, on the patio, on the terrace, and this little Chups would, make his way to the second floor, just take a little dipsky bop, mosey on over to the third floor where he would lounge. That's where he would, that's where the magic happens. That's where he would practice his magic tricks. And then on the first floor, that's where he had visitors in the shape of my hand. He would entertain visitors, and sometimes those visitors would even bring over some mealworms. And they'd come in, and you know, almost like a, you know, when you visit a friend in the human world, you bring over a bottle of wine. You know, I mean, you don't do it all the time. I wish you did. I wish you would call before you come over. You know, give me some time to pick up the place. And I wish that you'd bring over some wine when you did it. This bullshit about, you know, I'm here now. Now you got to deal with it. What the fuck is that? You know, I'm just hanging out, minding my own damn business, fool. You're going to come over here, talk about, hey, I'm here now. Bring some wine, fool. Come on now, do it right. You know, that's why I never messed up. If the homie hand was a visiting, a grub worm was a glistening. You know what I'm saying? So I always brought over a little something, something for the chups. So yeah, and that was a good time. Me and Chups would kick it hard. I mean, I don't know if I want to talk about how or why Chups isn't with us anymore, but I mean, since you brought it up, fuck it. So one day Chups just got up out that cage, right? And he just found his way over to the corner of the room where he was just hanging out on his lonesome. And I couldn't find him for a minute. It was a real messy room, all right? Those were weird times. I had all these boxes. They were filled with clothes. I don't want to talk about it. But needless to say, the room was a real easy place for a Chups to get lost. So he got lost in the mix. And I was looking for him for a couple of days. The dude didn't want to be found. One day, the final day, I'm talking about maybe he's been gone for like 4 or 5 days at this point. I'm wondering where the Chups is. I'm, you know, doing the mating calls, all that. He ain't responding. I'm out there with the chup of chups, you know, doing all the chup squeals, you know. That's how you wrangle them fuckers up in the wild. You do the chup squeals, and they come at you. And so, yeah, he wasn't responding to none of my nonsense. And so on the fifth day, the Lord said, move all this shit out the room. We go and find this chup of chups. So I popped up in there. I'm doing a deep discovery. You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, I see a wounded soldier. This dude creeps up out from behind the computer. Yeah, I had a computer in there too, a desk too. And he comes out creeping like he's just been wounded and numb. You know, he's got like this little limp to him. You know, like he's just learning how to walk with prosthetic legs. He's got that pros walk. And so I come to get him, and this little dude looks at me straight in the eyeballs, and he says, motherfucker, I knew English the whole time, just like that damn cat from earlier. And I swear to God, dude, I couldn't believe it. This whimsical motherfucker, and I knew it too, right off the bat. I told him, I was like, man, I knew you all along, Chups. No, I wish I could tell you it went like that. No, but he looked at me and he said, you know, with his last dying breath, he was just kind of like, my dude, I got up out that cage and that shit was a mistake. I thought there was freedom out here, but there was just a box, a bunch of boxes of clothes. Why you got all these clothes out here, and why don't you want to talk about it on your podcast? That's kind of weird and creepy. And I told him, I was like, dude, I don't even have a podcast yet. This hedgehog, I shit you not, he could look into the future. It was crazy how talented this fucking hedgehog was. Not only did he know English, I mean, he was right up there with that fucking cat, to tell you the truth. Charming little dude. Couldn't collect coins, though. He didn't have thumbs. Or you know what? I lied. He did have thumbs, but they weren't strong. He had weak thumbs. And not only did he have weak thumbs, but, I mean, he's got the pros walk going on. He's got the prosthetic leg shimmy. So little dude shimmies on over and he's talking about, you know, I can't believe you did this to me, such and such, you know. I thought we were homies. Why'd you let me get up out that cage? And I thought it was real weird. This dude's like, I mean, you know, he's basically some sort of rodent Houdini, you know. He's less charming than Houdini because Houdini could articulate. Houdini was a man, and that was his job. You know, that's how he paid the bills. That's how he brought home that buttered bread to his little filly. And fillies get upset if you don't be bringing home that buttered bread. So Houdini did a real good job. And he used to tell people, I can escape out of any such container. Until, of course, he died. He died in a tragic he died in a tragic airplane accident. And that's just the truth. So anyway, this was like a more rodent Houdini with no wife or the ability to butter bread. So I took him. He was no joke. He was still alive, limping along, and I tossed him into a box, right? Because I figure this way, he's got nowhere to go. If I put him back in that four-story mansion, this dude's going to try to lounge up on the top floor again, you know, put his little hooves up. I figure I put him into a contained area, toss some mealworms and toss some food, some grub. I gave him some water, and I figure he's got nothing in here to do but to take care of himself, nourish himself back to that chupa chups that we all know and love. But I don't know. I guess the joke was on me because I came back the next day, right? And he said his goodbyes. So there's that. And anyway, I think that I've kind of gone off the point a little bit here. So I'm real excited for you guys to meet my guest, the animal handler, the domesticator of animals, the dog whisperer. Well, fuck, I mean, everybody's a dog whisperer, huh? We just call them whisperers now. Because if you can whisper, you can basically talk to a dog. But this dude's talking to all types of, you know, weird animals, hyenas. He's talking to penguins. My dude shared a couple words with a rhino once. And that's some real cool experiences. We're really looking forward to seeing how it is this man gets from point A to point B using nothing but his skills and his wits when he's in there alone in the cage with a tiger. With that boss-ass lion. A lion's always looking like he's a little bit pissed off, but he's also looking like he's always kind of tired a little bit. You know, he's like a grandpa. He's like the grandpa at the family gathering. He's just tired, but he's also pissed off. And he's got jokes that nobody understands except for himself. You know what I'm saying? He's not there to entertain anybody. He's just got jokes that make him laugh. He's wondering when the food's ready. He might socialize himself through that little line until he gets to the plates and tosses it all on his little paper plate. Then he finds a little corner and hangs out. So the grandpa's basically like the lion of the family. You know what I'm saying? He's just kind of, he's kind of sits back and he watches. He notices everything. He just kind of watches. He judges. He writes out a $10 check for your birthday. You know, he puts on your birthday, he might write out a little. He might write out a check from his credit union for the amount of $7. My grandma used to tape up little comic book things that she would get from the Sunday paper, you know, the family circus, that type of thing. She'd cut those little guys out and she put it in an envelope for me, talking about happy birthday. I mean, I appreciate that, don't get me wrong, but I mean, I saw that same shit when it came out, you know, grandma? Like, they don't make regional family circus drawings, comics. That's just a national syndicated strip. So if I were to pop onto my Sunday paper, I already seen the family circus you're trying to send to me. I'm not going to tell her that, of course. You know, I'm going to say thank you. But I'm going to kind of wonder, you know, like, does she know that we get the newspaper out here? I don't know. I don't know if she knows that. Somebody should have told her, but that wasn't going to be me. Because, you know, I'm just out here enjoying my little family circus clips. So yeah, right after we come back with this word from our sponsor, we'll be interviewing the man himself, the animal tamer, the Barnum & Bailey chair whip holder. So really looking forward to that. Thank you guys for sticking around, and here's a quick commercial break. Hold on just one second. All right, do you guys like water? So this week our sponsor is Bison's Mineral Water. Turns out that Bison is a family company, and what they do is they take water from their local faucets, and they've been doing this for, I think, since 1923. What they do is they'll toss, they get some plastic bottles, just like the ones you see at your normal grocery store from your leading water bottle putter inners. Except for these guys, they've been doing it for much longer, so their water is a little bit older, which means it's got more minerals. You want that. You want that age when it comes to water. A lot of people don't know that, but that adds a little bit of, that adds some vitamins to your shit. So basically Bison, we appreciate you. So they what they do is basically, and what sets them apart from their from the market, from the competition, is they'll take that water straight from their faucet. The old water, they'll basically from what I understand their process is that they pump it out of a well. It's 20 leagues below sea level. And they tap it out. They get some professional guy to go down there, and he taps it on out. And they feed it up out of some cool little siphon, the same way my dad used to empty out the aquarium when he wanted to clean the tank. You know, they use that little, it's like a hose almost, but you gotta siphon it out almost like you're gonna siphon out a tank of gas. I don't know if you troublemakers ever stole a tank of gas from a car that was parked, but you can toss a hose in there and suck on the end of it till the gas starts coming out, and just put it in a new tank. And that's what these suckers of Bison are doing. They're tapping the well, and so they toss a little hose down there, and they bring the water up. Right up into the faucet, and from there they fill it into these little bottles and slap their name on it. And then so they've been around since 1918. There's some debate about when they started, actually. It's like this lore that's going around anyway. They gave us some money to talk about them, and so that's what I'm doing. And but also too, I'm a big fan. I love to hydrate. A lot of people always ask me, Tonio, how is it that you stay alive? You know, Tonio, how is it that, sometimes I see you and, you seem a bit dirty, like you've been working all day. And then the next time I see you, you seem a little fresh. That's what they say to me sometimes. And I've even had people come up to me and they're like, man, you look like you've been hydrating well, like your body's 80% of something. What could it be? And I, 9 times out of 10, because every, like the 1 time out of 10, I like to fuck with them, you know what I'm saying? But like that 9 times out of 10, I give them the truth. And the truth is, I use fucking water, you know? Sometimes when I'm feeling real dehydrated, I'll toss some water in my mouth and then I'll swallow it. And so Bison's really helps with that. So you guys should check it out. If you guys aren't hydrating, then I don't know how it is that you guys are listening to the podcast. I don't know. You might want to look into kidney stones too. I don't know if it burns when you pee or like you're having some hard time passing some stones, but you definitely want to look into hydrating, and why not do it with Bison's, a family company. Thank you. And let's get back to the podcast. Why don't we? Because we got that dude over here waiting, and he brought in some monkeys too. I'm real stoked for the monkeys. Everybody, I mean, my whole life, I don't know how you guys grew up, but like my whole life, I've been talking about, damn, I want some monkeys. You know, when you're a little kid and you just could dream the biggest dreams you could ever dream. But you also, and a lot of that's the thing is like when you're a kid, you got enough time to like not only dream the dreams, but you got enough time to actually see them come true, which is really cool. But that's not really how it happened to me. Cause like, cool, you're a kid and you can dream, but like you're so dumb that you don't even know what to dream. I mean, I used to dream about dumb shit, man. I wasted all my dreams. I used to dream about having a house full of Doritos. Like, I just, little kid shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I guess there were some kids that grew up like saying, and that, you know, I think it's bullshit. The kids that are like, I grew up and I always knew that I wanted to be an astronaut. And then they're actually astronauts and you're just like, and they're like, you know, super intelligent. They come, they're usually Indians. They're either Indians or they're Asian. I mean, I don't know if it's racist to say that they're smart, but they just stay real focused. What's racism? That's when you say complimentary things about the race, or does it always have to be? Does it have to be mean? I don't understand. But yeah, I fancy myself a real polite and complimentary racist. But yeah, there's be some Indian kids that are like, I want to be an astronaut when I grow up. And I was like, not only do I not know what that fucking means, dude, but you know, when I grow up, I want to have one of those Kmart pools filled with chocolate milk. And I want to bathe in that. But also somehow be sterile enough to drink out of it at the same time. That's the fucking dream, dude. I don't want to worry about my germs contaminating my chocolate milk, soup. You know, I want to swim in it with a straw that is also sipping up that beautiful milky, milky chocolate. And, those are the kind of dreams I had. These guys were talking about all types of shit, and it's weird because like they're doing that with themselves. Now I grew up, and the dark irony between it is like now I'm old enough to actually create and actually, you know, go out to buy a pool and put chocolate milk in it, fill it up. But now that I'm an adult, I just don't really want to, you know, like I have the time, I have the means. Don't get me wrong. I could fill it on up, baby girl. You want to come on over? You want to be impressed? AF? I got you. But the thing is like now that I'm an adult, the dark irony is that I just don't feel like it. So I wasted all my dreams. But anyway, one of those dreams is coming true today. When I was a kid, I was like, man, had enough of these cocos. I've had enough of these rats. I've had enough of these cinnamon. I had enough of these bitch ass cats getting my skin all bubbly. Every time I say bubbly, I feel like I gotta do it right on the microphone. I gotta be all bubbly. But yeah, that was a charming ass cat. I was tired of like all these animals, like even Chupa Chups, even Chups himself in the flesh, he knew a little bit of English. I just wanted a fucking monkey. I wanted to kick back with a monkey. And today it comes true. So, yeah, it's a real exciting time for me, guys. And I'll probably introduce my guest here in a second. Honestly, I just wanted to talk to you guys a little bit because, you know, I consider this guy a close friend of mine. And I was just kind of wondering, you know, just kind of like talking in that same vein of friends and guests and that kind of thing. How do people make friends? You know what I'm saying? Like, as an adult, All my friends are like the friends that I had from back in the day. But like the you talk about like making friends, like how do you do that? It's almost like, all right, cool, you're into stuff, I'm into stuff. Do I call you now? Like, how do we? I don't know. Listen, I'm not really fucking great at it. But, you know, hit my line or whatever. And go out and get a pizza. I'm on the gluten-free right now. Yeah, that's right. They got me. They got me with the gluten-free. A lot of people think that it's me trying to be cool. Because, you know, people that eat gluten-free are really fucking cool or whatever. But it's not that. That's not it, brother. I'm not that cool. I'm just, you know, I get this here autoimmune disease that I'm just not supposed to be eating gluten. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm not trying to turn it into that podcast. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a preacher of the bread. I'm not going to stand here on a soapbox and start talking about flour and wheat, yeast and all that. That shit's for the birds. This ain't that type of podcast. We're going to interview folks here. But, you know, gluten isn't a good thing. It's not good for everybody. I'll just come out and say it. I'll say what's on everybody's mind. It's not good for you, buddy. It's not. It's not good. So why don't you do some of that there reading? Get yourself one of them books. Watch yourself one of them documentaries. Pop on a documentary and read a book. Get the bubbling. Get that knowledge bubbly-like. And realize that, you know, a couple years ago, this gluten thing wasn't a thing. And it's not that everybody's being trendy now. It's that everybody's bodies are changing because of the preservatives they're tossing in them loaves, bruh. They're tossing all types of weird shit into bread now, man. I mean, they got to feed the whole country, so they got to toss some weird shit into loaves if they're planning on keeping you guys ticking. So, you know. But yeah, give my bust my line on out. Give me a fucking ring-a-ding. And we'll go catch a loaf that's healthy for both of us to munch on. And maybe I can talk my guest into being a pal, you know? Hang out with me. And bring that fucking monkey, too. I ain't playing games with you, my dude. I want to hang out with that goddamn monkey. And I'll do you one better. I'm going to be completely... If you don't want to hang out, drop off the damn monkey. I want to hang out with it. I'll feed it too. Whatever you want, dude. I know it's got some sort of like cool, like little dietary. Like I feel like a monkey can eat like everything. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe shit that it wouldn't find in its normal habitat. Like I'm not going to try to feed a monkey some like a pomegranate, you know? I don't know if they like exist in the same ecosystem or climate, but like what happens when a monkey gets its hands on a goddamn pineapple? Do you know? Don't act like you know because you're trying to be cool in front of your friends. Because I don't know. I've never seen a picture of a monkey with a pineapple. So you go ahead and drop off the directions on how I'm supposed to feed this thing, and I'm going to get to feeding, boy. This monkey's in good hands. Me and Monkey Boy is going to kick back, eat ourselves some banana nanners. I'll toss some nanners in a juicer, in a little puree system. And get them little suckers a tumbling till they're all juicy and squashy squish. And feed that thing with a spoon with a little rubber on the end of it. The same way you do an infant because their little teeth, they don't even know how to fucking stop biting on them steel spoons. I'll get a nubbins safe spoon and feed myself a little monkey. So drop that sucker off. You don't want to hang out with me. It's cool. You don't need to. You don't. I'm going to be honest with you. You don't need to hang out. Me and Monkey going to get to nanner smashing. And we going to be besties. We going to be biffles. So you just go on and get to scooting, old boy. So yeah, anyway, that's all the time we have for today. I appreciate you guys hanging out with me, and there's really no telling where this podcast is going to go. I'm going to be honest with you. So I wish we had more time today to interview this fellow, but you know, we'll get to it next time probably. I'll probably bring in somebody else. I don't know. This guy didn't seem too eager to get on the mic. So, you know, I might bring in like a city worker. I might bring in like a, you know, stay tuned because it's going to get wild. That's what I do know. I don't know where it's going, but it's going to end up pretty wild. I might bring in, I'm open to suggestions too. If you guys want to hear me speak with, you know, like a street walker. You know, you want to hear me talk to a middle school principal? You know, anything that you guys can ever even fathom, I'm open to it. I might speak to a substitute teacher for a middle school. But on some big dick swinging shit, I might even bring in some celebrities. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna bring in some cool cats. So if you're interested, if it seems like your thing, thank you for listening. I appreciate you taking the time. My name's Tonio Cintron. You can call me Tonio because who's got time for last names? You know what I'm saying? We're not doing anything formal here. Just call me T. Call me T-Dog. Yeah, so I appreciate you letting me bend your ear. And next time, we'll see what we make of things. Hopefully next time we get a title to this damn show. How about that? All right. We'll see you next time.